Kilo Echo 8 Zulu Uniform Whiskey. Well, how are the main roads? Aside from people, fine. It's always people. Whenever you watch the weather forecast, you should say cloudy with a chance of people. WERCY. Go ahead, Donald. Throughout Macomb County, right now, because that's what I'm listening to, some accidents on the mile roads. One bad one on the freeway. Well, it's not bad, but it's just tying up traffic around 94 in Harper on the north end there. But I haven't heard anything along DeQuinder that would affect you or 16 Mile yet. And I heard Dakota out there, but I haven't heard anything about Van Dyke or Hall Road. But there are accidents that's been out in other areas, but not on either one of your two routes. Morning, Donald. Well, I'm just going to take it easy on the way in. Not drive stupid and be prepared and should be okay. I don't know. I haven't even got out of the sub yet. I left the long way. I'm going to stop and get my hair cut before I go in. Ah, fun days. Dakota. Thanks for the report, Donald. I don't know what people are doing wrong. I mean, the roads are, we're doing 80 on 53. The roads are totally fine, so I'm not sure what people are doing. Not that slick. It's not slick at all, actually. It's better than wet.
There's some up in Chesterfield, and then there's some on 696 here near DeQuinder. Warren and Madison Heights are trying to figure out whose engineer it is. But nothing major, but I've only been listening for about a half hour.
Yuppers. Well, yeah, the roads, it's, you know, it's according to my Thermi Bob, it's 28. So with the cars pounding, you know, and this was kind of a thin eggshell kind of a freeze. I had to throw some ice down on the steps so my dog would go out. And I got some down on my steps going out of the house because it was kind of persnickety. So the subdivision streets were a little slippery. You're out of lock with pump once, and then you'd stop because you were breaking all that thin ice underneath you. And out on the main roads, you know, just the weight of the cars and the heat of the tires, you know, that's all just wet. You know, it looks, people are probably freaking out because it's got that shiny kind of a look. But it's just wet, like Dakota said. Ah, well. But there are going to be accidents no matter what. Ah, well. Dakota.
You're not wrong. There's accidents when it's 95 degrees and dry out, so add any sort of variable and you're probably going to increase the odds, like this guy who's doing 60 on 53 in the left lane and everyone's blowing by him.
Haven't heard anything. I'm just going to sit here and monitor, and if I hear something that's on either one of your two paths, I'll let you know. WERCY.
Oh, okay, Donald. Enjoy.
I am taking Ryan, and I'm going to run Chicago over to my little barber shop, get in for an early haircut, and then what route will I take? I'm going to take Van Dyke to Hall. I don't know. I'm not really sure which way I'll take from there. It's funny how a couple of miles makes all the difference in what route you take. At least down here. I don't know about up your way. How far are you from Dryden, Dakota?
Thanks for the traffic report, Donald. Have a good day. Maybe I'll catch you later. Sean, I can pretty much throw a rock and be in Dryden. Do you know where, I don't know how familiar you are with the area, but do you know where the Pine House Bar and Grill is? I think it's Pine House off of Dryden Road.
No, I don't really know the area all that well. I mean, I really like it. I've been up that way a number of times, but I don't remember anything specific.
Okay, well, that's about a mile and a half from my house, and it's about a half a mile from downtown Dryden, to give you an idea. I can get to downtown Metamora in less than 15 minutes.
Roger. Yeah, I bought a dog and I bought some car parts out of Dryden a couple of times, so those are two times I was up there stopping, and I've biked through there on my gravel bike once or twice a few years back, but that's about it. It's just real pretty. I like it out that way. So it seems like so off the beaten path, but it's not. You know, it's like not terribly far from civilization, but it seems like it's a million miles away. It's got a weird kind of a feel to me, like it's much farther away and more remote than it is.
I get that vibe too. You get to downtown Dryden, you're like, where the hell am I? You feel like you're in a town up north because it's so small and does not look like anything's been done to it in 50 years. I wish we would have made it a little further west from where we're at. The farmer cut down all the trees like a complete moron. So there's literally no trees within like 2 square miles now. And I'm a mile off 53. So from my kitchen table, I can see the frickin' expressway, and it drives me nuts. But we're going to plant a bunch of willow trees this spring to suck up some water, and he's not going to be happy about that dripping onto his crops. So, oops. But that's why my 710's in the back seat. I'm shipping it back and getting an 891. Don't have a wire anymore.
Yeah, you're going to have to figure out how to do it yourself. I think maybe might be a tower. Might be the way to go. I don't think they're all that rare out there. You know, a lot of people have been doing them for years for TVs. I think with the advent of internet and cable and all that, there's a lot less. But towers out in the country have been a thing forever. They don't look out of place at all. I mean, you got to convince the wife of that, but get yourself a tower, man.
Once the yard's done, that would be ideal. That or a DX Commander. But I was talking to my wife about it last night, about, I'm like, what if I do this? And she's like, no. I'm like, yeah, I kind of agree. Like, I don't want to strap stuff to the kids' playset and things like that. So for the time being, shipping the 710 back, going to operate strictly portable. And I still have the coax ran through the house, too. So it's not like, you know, I can't go out there and throw something up and then go sit at my desk and operate. It's just not as permanent as it was because the farmer cut down the trees.
Yeah, that's a bummer. All right, I just pulled up to the barber shop. I'm gonna run inside and get the hair shop. I'll be back. You'll be in work by the time I'm back, but we'll see ya. Dalviate a few.
Make sure he gets them all, NADBF.
KEA-TFM.
Good morning, Damien. How is your drive going this morning?
I'm not sure yet. I just pulled out of my subdivision. The good thing is nobody's on the road, so I'm hoping it's not going to be too bad. I got to drive out to Oxford to a customer, so. And I'm hoping Orion Road's okay. We'll see. So far, not bad.
Yeah, it was a little crappy on my street
going out to the, you know, out of the sub. Not bad, though. It's like a real thin, like, eggshell coating of ice, so if you're on a virgin piece of ground, there might be a coating on there, but as soon as you hit the brakes, the weight of the car will break it all up. You just flip a little. They had an analog pump a few times, but once you get out on the main road, it's just wet, so. Thermometer says 28 degrees as I go northbound here on M53 approaching Hall, so it's just all wet. And I don't have a lot of driving around to do today, so once I get in, I'll be okay. Just running late today.
Yeah, I was supposed to be there a little bit earlier, but I'm like, yeah, you know what, kids got a school day. It's one of those days where I can just say I'm taking my time, so that's all I'm going to do is take it nice and slow and not do anything stupid. So, yeah, other than that, hopefully I go there, it goes quick, and I'm home by lunchtime, so. All right, I'm going to step away for just a second. I'm going to put some gas in the truck, and, yeah, I'll be back. KE8 TFM.
Okay, I'm trying to diagnose a weird sound I'm hearing. Is that coming from my car? All right, I'll be here. W8FU.
Well, you did get your ears lowered, so you might be hearing things. W8RCY.
Well, I told her, I said, take it off. Boy, I'll tell you what, she really did. I'm like, holy moly, so I'm going to have to start wearing a hat.
Yeah, copy that. After 7:30, things pretty much quieted down, and I quit listening about 20 minutes ago, so. All right, well, just have a safe trip for the rest of the day, and I got 28 over here, so, yeah, but I have not heard anything else. Still that early morning rush.
Yeah, Hall looks pretty good. I'm just turning onto it now. Got to run from Hall and 53 to Hall and 94, basically. And it looks wet. So unless people are having problems with wet, shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, things were sketchy there for about 90 minutes and quieted right down, like I said. And I have not heard anything else. So, all right, I will let you get on your way to work and all that stuff, and I will get myself going because I've got physical therapy at 9. So, and that's here on campus, so I don't have to go anywhere for that, really. That long hallway walk and the elevator and then another long hallway walk to get over to the activity center and medical center. So, all right, have a good day. We'll catch up with you throughout the day or whatever. And take care. W8RCY.
Okay. Have fun. Catch you later. W8RCY. KE8 TFM. Did you get what you needed to get?
Yep, I got it. We got fuel. Well, I'm good. I was down to 40 miles left, so I don't want to get stranded because of no gas. Yeah, so you guys worked on the West Bloomfield repeater. Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, quite a while ago. I think we're talking like 2 years. Phil's repeater suddenly just started, you know, acting up. He had a bad match and kind of was all goofy. And so he had to get a tower crew out.
So it started, and he had to get into his antenna and all this other stuff. So it started this whole process for him. And he finally got the antenna late last year, and then we got him hooked up with a tower company. He got some, he had funding, because there's multiple projects on the tower, not just his stuff. And so he had funding, and got a company that I've been working with on another project. They came out, like, called them the next day, they were out. It was amazing. 2-day job. And they took care of all the work, put up the new antenna, swept the antennas, checked everything, and I don't know if they swept, I'm not sure. But, so he got his new antenna that he purchased last year up, finally. And when he went to put the whole thing back online, he found out his PA was bad, too. So I dug around in my stuff, and I found a PA, and I brought him a VHF one instead of a UHF one. Oops. So then we got together again, and I got him the right one, a UHF. And then he had to kind of configure, you know, he had to finagle it so that, because the output of his computer was not enough to drive this man to full output. So he had to figure out how he was going to accomplish that. Anyhow, to make a long story even longer, that's how he got it all back up and online, you know, through a combination of things. But, yeah, it was a long time coming, about 2 years, and a lot of stuff had to happen.
Yeah, very good, because, yeah, I notice now on my drive home from work, that one lights up a whole lot better now. Got my band scope, see all five of them that are within range of me, so Romeo, Richmond, Warren, that one, whatever the other one is, Mount Clemens, yeah. So, but I definitely noticed that one is a pretty good signal.
Yeah, and it fills a nice, you know, hole. As you start to get out where it's strongest, that's where I start to get, you know, this one, assuming you're on this one, 2.6, tends to roll off. And it could start to get a little sketchy when you get out toward that Pontiac Waterford, get out around the lakes. And his when it's working, covers that really well. Also, if you're going up 696, mine can get a little difficult as soon as you get past those underground bridges, you know, you go through on 696. And, you know, you get up the other side of those, like, let's say, Telegraph, and it starts coming in really good and carries you for a while. But, really, it's up in that Pontiac Waterford area that it comes in and works really good.
Yeah, that one I have tried it a few times and wasn't really working all that well. I didn't get much more range, but, yeah, no, it's good. Once I get to 75 here, I'll switch over to it for a little bit. Now, on the when I was driving out to Grand Rapids, are the repeaters that are out that way that show up on the website, are those linked into this system as well? Or are they all not completely linked, like the Danville and the Lansing area one? Are those linked up here?
Those are, heard you, KJO. Those are all part of the Central Michigan Emergency Network, and they are all connected together, and we connect to that. So, you know, in effect, yes, they are connected. I've at the drive-thru here at McDonald's.
Good morning,
I'll be back. Go ahead, Tom.
Morning, Sean. Who else is up there?
Sausage burritos with mild sauce.
And Diet Coke. Morning, Sean. Who else is out there? I heard the voice. Can't recognize it.
Davian, KE8TFM. Good morning.
Morning, Davian, KJO, Tom, Ted Wasker, Mike. I go out that way, too, and I said, Mayville's pretty good, Danville's pretty good. Anything in Grand Rapids that I couldn't think of, I got to look at the list. But then you got the Holly repeater up there too, I think, links into CMEN.
Yeah, I was out there for travel hockey out in Holland, and when I was driving through, put my call out a few times. No one responded, though, and I'm like, I wonder if this is actually linked in to FBI. I wasn't sure. I was kind of surprised no one came back. Both ways. When I was heading out there, I tried, and then coming back, I tried. So, but I finally updated my radio in the car. I have all those repeaters programmed. I got, like, everything I need now programmed in the radio for the most part. So, finally got off my butt and got that all squared away. So far everything's been working good. But yeah, I was just kind of curious because I hadn't heard anyone on those. But yeah, they seem to get out pretty good though. They got pretty good range.
Well, you got the one for Grand Rapids. And I got to go to Kalamazoo tomorrow.
All right, I'll be right back. I got to take a phone call. KEATFM.
Technical issue at McDonald's. Really, did you get your sausage
burritos? Oh, I just got the number one, the egg McMuffin deal with coffee. Pretty simple today.
You gotta get the bacon, egg, and cheese bagel with the breakfast sauce on it. If you like Eggs Benedict, that's a pretty close comparison.
It was spread that over the breakfast burritos.
Salsa. The M19 looks like it's salted, but I gotta go to Livonia. I'll be right back. Need my coffee.
You say be right back. WATAP.
K8RUH.
What's going on?
What's going on, Tom? Where are you headed right now on this lovely day?
Well, I'm home, yeah. I gotta go to Northville and drop off some drywall tools for my son. And then from there, I gotta go to Northville, Middle Belt, and Plymouth area. Be there all day. Got 70 batteries to change and a bunch of controllers.
Well, that's cool. It's just one stop and you're good to go. Yeah, I'm headed into the office late. They gave us a 2-hour delay so that all the knuckleheads could get in safely. So doesn't bother me one bit. Made my morning commute a little bit easier.
Sometimes there are advantages of starting at 10 o'clock every day. I avoid all the rush hour traffic.
Yeah, that's pretty nice, as long as you can utilize that time since you get home so late.
Overtime is always a plus. I gotta go to Kalamazoo tomorrow, probably be there half the day, and drive wherever else from there. And then they'll be overtime. I get paid for it. I get paid to drive.
That's probably pretty nice, other than a few days a year, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm not too fine going out that way or wherever else, and then having some weather pass through my area that I'm in, and then I gotta muddle my way home carefully.
And I would imagine that happens more than you'd like heading over to the west side of the state at this time of year.
Oh yeah, when we have that breezy, snowy stuff, lake effect, over on the west side, and I'm going up a ramp, and nice big gust of wind, and I get pushed to the side. I'm like, okay, that's not fun.
Yeah, I remember
for you telling us about that on a bridge in Grand Rapids. That's that is not fun. I've been in that situation, and years ago in the middle of Minnesota, at probably about this time of year, and spun out right off the road. There was ice. It was quite the event, but made it out through the Jeep and four wheel drive and got out of the ditch, and we were good to go and kept heading west.
Yeah, that's why I don't keep a lot of batteries in my van, because I say, oh, here, take all these batteries. I'm like, I won't be able to move over a speed bump with that many. That's where I'm going right now in Livonia. I got 70 batteries that I got to replace, so that's a good couple hundred pounds right there.
Yeah, what type of batteries are they? Are they just like small-ish batteries, or what are they?
Same-size batteries that you put in the power wheel, 12-volt, 4-amp power batteries. Some of them are 7-amp power batteries. The 17 is about half the size of a car battery. You know, so those, they get 3 or 4 cases of those, they get pretty heavy.
Yeah, sounds like it would.
A couple of years ago, I took me and another coworker. Didn't have nothing going on in the Detroit district, so we're like, yeah, we'll do stuff up on the north end. And I'm going to Sebewing, Saginaw, and Bay City. And we got up to Sebewing, and we're supposed to fight the weather. They said it was going to be south. Weather actually ended up hitting us. Nothing more than driving up M25 in a blizzard.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun at all.
Coming back was worse. Coming down 75, getting to the 69 interchange there in Flint. And the freeways weren't plowed. You can only guess how slick that ramp was.
Yep. But at least today, you know, it already seems like this ice is melting. It's supposed to get to like 37. So we should be in good shape, and it'll all go away, and we'll be a non-issue. But I think we are supposed to get some snow Saturday night into Sunday. We'll see what happens with that. We're so lucky with snow anymore that we barely get any. And anytime it does snow, people are freaking out, you know. It's so crazy. We used to get so much snow, and now, I think I shoveled once this year. Haven't had my snowblower down in 3. So, you know, it's Michigan. It's going to be bad weather every now and again.
Yeah, so 29 degrees on my van, and but the freezing rain that was stuck to my side view mirror is just kind of melting off and flaking off. I see water dripping, so I mean, oh, it's a little bit warmer than it actually says.
Yeah, I just got on 696 at 94, and it's saying it just got up to 32, so it was 30 before I made that turn. Now I'm at about Grossbeck, and I'm at 32, so it'll get warmer.
What kind of helps if you drive behind some of these trucks and the spray that comes up from the wheels? Well, it's salt spray, so guess what it does? One, it washes your windshield, and two, it helps melt all the snow in the ice in front of your vehicle.
Yep, I've been catching ice flaking off people's vehicles for the last 10 minutes. It's certainly melting.
Does things for a better drive. I'd rather have the salt spray where it's melting the snow and it's still wet where it's not taking up on my windshield compared to ice blocking up my windshield wipers or snow or having just it staying there. Even though you got the defroster on high temp and you're sweating, that's still not enough to keep the snow off.
Yeah, that is the worst when you got to keep the defrosters on and you have to have the windows cracked because you're sweating.
Just happy today is going to be an indoor kind of day. Oh, I don't do roofs anymore. I'm too old for that. Don't do roofs. I don't do anything taller than a feet from ladder possibly.
Tom, I think you're reaching the end of your rope or just in a bad spot because you're not coming in very clear anymore.
Yeah, I'm up here at 275, coming up on 8 miles, so I'll say 73 GMT on your final. All
right, Tom, good talking to you this morning. We'll maybe we'll catch up with you on the evening drive, K8RUH.
UGQ, monitoring.
Good morning, this is ABTR. Can you give me that call sign one more time?
Uniform Golf Quebec. Name here is Mark. I'm mobile over in Waterford. Go ahead.
Okay, Mark. I didn't get the first part of your call. I just got the last. Yeah, very good. Welcome to the machine. I haven't heard you on before.
Very first foray into 70 meters. I've had a license, first one in 69, second one in 84, which I've kept active, and I've been on and off the air, and as of last October, I'm back on, and now I'm playing with a little VHF, and the call again is KA8 Uniform Golf Quebec. Go ahead.
Very good. All right, now where in Waterford are you? I'm not far. I'm in Sylvan Lake myself.
Sorry, I thought I'd let the repeater ID, and I also needed to get my seatbelt on. I'm almost at the intersection of Pontiac Lake Road and Williams Lake Road, and didn't realize we had a West Bloomfield repeater, which is kind of cool. I don't know exactly where it's located, but just threw a little mobile setup into the car yesterday with an HT and was hoping I might be able to hit it. Go ahead.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, welcome. Yeah, I know right where you are. In fact, I got to make a run over to the Myers right there, near there, later today. Yeah, this repeater's been around for a while. It's been in less than ideal condition for the last couple of years due to some issues where on the antenna on the tower where it's at. Finally got fixed this week, so it's back up to its normal operation. And this repeater is also connected to a bunch of others that are around town, one in Warren, one out in Richmond, I think one in Romeo. So you're getting quite a coverage area here.
Back in the day, when I was running a little 2AT handy-talkie, we didn't have all that linking, I don't think. But anyway, I have to apologize. I'm running off a little speaker mic, and I missed your call and name when you first came on. So if I could get that also, and do I assume that you're the controller of this particular repeater?
Yes, that is correct. It's located in West Bloomfield, and my name is Phil, Papa Henry in DeLima. Call is Alpha Bravo 8, Papa Radio.
And just in general terms, where's the repeater located in West Bloomfield? I've
lived in the area pretty much my entire life. Grew up over in Orchard Lake and had a lot of fun. Well, I went to West Bloomfield High, but that's ancient history. But just wondering how long of a trip this little HC is making.
Yeah, well, it's basically right next to West Bloomfield High. So that will give you a good idea. Antenna's at about 130 feet.
Makes sense. Now, back in the day, I was one of the first ones on when West Bloomfield started their FM radio station. Don't know if that's still active. I would have to guess it would be, but seems to me that there was a lot of available towers in the area. KA8UGQ, go ahead.
Okay, Mark. Well, that's very interesting because the radio station is now controlled by the Greater West Bloomfield Cable Communications Commission, which I am a member of. So that's kind of how we got to where we are. The station used to be at the high school, and it got moved to the fire station tower, and so it's on the same tower. I wonder, did you know Chuck Scott by any way, or Dave Scott?
8AKV was a mentor back when I was in junior high school. I was actually introduced to ham radio in sixth grade. My teacher at Scott School took me to see a gentleman that I believe may have been down in Royal Oak or Fenton, and I am not remembering his call. His name was George T. Pazinko, but he was quite active in the area. And I was able to get into the high school band when I was in junior high. I met up with Chuck, and heck yeah, I used to hang out with him a whole heck of a lot. We were swap meet rats. We'd always have a table at all of them. That is so funny. I actually looked him up on QRZ to see where he's at and have been meaning to drop him a note. So back to you, Phil.
Okay, well, I was also very good friends with Chuck. I lived right behind him, and that's how we met, on 2 meters, and we became fast friends, and he changed his call to NADNX, moved up to Petoskey. Unfortunately, he did pass a few years ago. I was very upset about that, but yeah, I would go to Dayton. He and I and some other people would go to Dayton every year for many, many years. So, his brother Dave is very instrumental. He might be listening actually right now. He's got his call sign. So if you're in there, Dave, chime in.
Oh my gosh, that is so sad to hear. I have absolutely no idea. Well, that is not good, but oh my gosh. Yeah, like I said, I met him through Dan. He was quite the accomplished saxophone player. And I don't know if you said when you were living behind him, it was when they were on, I believe it was Maple, or Maple and Middlebelt or something like that. But at any rate, I once had the wonderful opportunity to climb his 60-foot tower when he was stringing up some sort of antenna, and the cord to pull it up fell off the pulley at the top. And I don't know how I did it, because today I can't even climb a 6-foot ladder, but Chuck and I had quite a few adventures back in the day. Back to you, Phil.
Okay, yeah, I remember that tower, and he had a pretty decent 2-meter antenna on that thing. But yeah, he and I worked on many, many projects. We basically, once he moved to Petoskey, we basically had identical setups with towers. Pretty much we had the same tower and everything else. And, you know, we kept in touch quite a bit. And like I said, I miss him greatly. Now, I wonder if you went to West Bloomfield High, did you know Dave Albert?
Absolutely. I was actually thinking of him just the other day. He came to us from, I'm trying to remember what commercial station he had been on. I think it was W4. But he had been a teacher at the junior high level and then came over to high school once the radio station started up. And I don't know if he's still around or if you mentioned me to him, if he'll have fond memories, but I was literally the second guy on the air when the station went active. My buddy George was the first, and spent a lot of time, you know, in the studio and stuff. It was a great experience, and I do miss that. But yes, I remember Dave Alberry very well. Go ahead.
Okay, well, he's the executive director of our Cable Commission. So, yes, yeah, I see him very frequently and talk to him all the time. What's your last name, Mark? I'll mention it to him.
Gelstein. Yeah, there's a possibility you may remember. I was there 71 through 75, I think, is the year. No, not I think. That is the year I graduated. And a radio station came around during my senior year. That's good to hear that he's still around. Still very sorry to hear about Chuck, though. That's something. But yeah, I go way back. I knew a lot of people, so it sounds like we traveled in some of the same circles there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we probably met and don't remember. So this would be great here. So it was, I'm trying to remember what year I actually got friends with Dave. We lived in Detroit until 1970. My parents moved out to West Mobile, which is literally, you know, basically a quarter mile behind Chuck, in that subdivision behind. And that was, like I said, 70s, and I got my license in 71, so it was on the air. So I probably met Chuck in 72, I'm guessing. I can't remember for sure.
Bloomfield High, if I'd be curious what your last name is. Like I said, I knew a lot of people there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I never went to West Mobile High. I finished in Detroit because it was my senior year. So, yeah, last name is Ross, R-O-S-S.
Well, but that would explain it as well. But, yeah, I've been pretty much almost all my life floating around the general area, even when I graduated, got married, got divorced, got married. Ended up right back in Waterford, probably not too far from where the original homestead was. But picked up a whole lot of fond memories. It's been really interesting. I didn't know that I can hit the repeater. I'm going to look forward to hooking up with you again at some point, because now that it's in here, I'll be doing a little bit of drive time. But I've got to jump out because the owner is actually out shoveling the parking lot, and I think I should probably make an appearance like I'm actually going to go to work. So I will, anyway, Phil, 73, great catching up with you. This is KAA-UGQ, clear on your final.
Okay, Mark, very good, yeah, very good. And if you're on the east side, you go to 442.6 with a 123 PL, and that, that's the one of the other main repeater on this network, so they're tied together using a thing called All-Star, if you're not familiar with that. So, all right, well, I'm sure we'll catch you down the road. Yeah, I'm glad you can make it. And like I said, up until earlier this week, it was, it had a range of about 3 miles. So now it's back to it should be. All right, 73-ADATR. Stay safe.
J-L. I thought I'd throw a question out there, see if anybody out here that might be listening has any thoughts. I've got an old radio, an HF radio, that uses fixed crystals, and so I've only got the SSB filter, and I'd like to do CW with it, so I'd like a narrower filter. What would be the disadvantage of doing the filtering in the audio side? Basically, after it came out of the radio, using a filter on the audio to be able to notch out what I need for CW. I'm sure it's not as good, but I'm wondering if there are glaring downsides that I'm not thinking of. If you got any thoughts on that, I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. AD8JL. KBP. ABAPR. KBP.
Hello.
Hey, out in the mobile. Woodward by Big Beaver. Repeater in the past had been kind of marginal in this area, but so far it's got a good signal here.
Yeah, you know, the new antenna definitely will give you better coverage further out. Locally, maybe not so much, because you could be under the umbrella, because it's a lot higher gain antenna.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's hardly any picket fencing at all. It's just about full-scale, full quieting here. I guess I just did Big Beaver and Woodward, but, yeah, wow, what an improvement. Congrats.
Yeah, thanks. Long time coming. So, I'm glad it's doing well.
Yep, all right, won't hold you. It's not so icy out here, but I thought I'd take a minute and grab the microphone. So, ta-ta for now, K8BB.
Yeah, I was just out and about. The main roads are just fine. It's melting and they're salted, so. All right, catch you later. K8BB, ABAP. Hey, DBF.
NHKPP. NHKPP. NHKPP mobile.
KF8BPA monitoring. KF8BPA mobile monitoring.
NADBF.
KF8BPA, mobile monitoring.
Was that KF8 Victor Bravo Alpha?
No, Bravo Papa Alpha. Bravo Papa Alpha. KF8BPA, Vladimir, I'm mobile in West Bloomfield.
Copy that. I apologize. You've got NADBF here. My name's Dakota. I'm down here in Clinton Township.
Didn't get your name. I'm sorry. Can you speak slowly a little bit? And your call sign, please. K5BPA, back over to you.
Yeah, it's my name is Dakota, Delta Alpha Kilo Oscar Tango Alpha, call sign November 8, Delta Bravo Fox.
Oh, November 8, Delta Bravo Fox. It's like take a base file. I got it. Dakota, thank you. Nice to meet you, Dakota. My name is Latimer. Okay, I'm crossing Orchard Lake Road, and I'm on HT, being mobile. Okay, this is it, I guess. Thank you very much for the QSO, and talk to you later. November 8, DBF, KF8, BPA, 73.
Copy, good to meet you. Safe travels, and maybe I'll catch you again. N8DDF.
I'll be glad to. My home QTH is Southfield. I'm on Hazel Park Radio Amateur Club, and typically monitoring the DART repeater, 146-640. Okay.
KFABPA,
over and out. Hey, that's fine. ADHA, I'll
monitor. Was that Tom? Okay, no copy on that. You're not in.
I take back all the mean things I said about you. If you can't hear me, then we won't talk. Let's see what's going on. ADHJL.
Okay, you were in a little bit better that time.
Don't risk it. I just wanted to see how you're going.
Which repeater are you in? Because you're in and then you're not. Yeah, still no copy. I got about 5% of that. Something should be able to get in from here, and the last two digits of your call, so I'll be monitoring for the next little bit here in case you get a little bit closer or get a little more solid signal. N8DBF, standing by.
W8RJD, monitoring mobile.
KE8FCR, monitor.
W8RJD.
I didn't catch the whole call there. W8RJD, Delta, was it? You were late. Fast track, Charlie Romeo.
Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot Charlie Romeo, this is Whiskey 8, Romeo Juliet Delta. Ryan, I'm in currently in Pontiac, mobile in the truck, heading over to the courthouse. After years of working in the courthouse, I'm now representing clients in the courtroom. So I'm heading on over to court to represent an individual in a case. So it's been a while because I used to represent the court. So this will be fun. What are you up to today?
Hi, nice to meet you. Name here is Mike. I just got this little handy HT programmed up. Wanted to see if I could fit the Richmond repeater from my house. boss told me to work from home today, so just finishing the day up here. Seeing if apparently I can hit this repeater now, which is pretty cool to know. A little 5-watt handheld. Best of luck at the courthouse. It sounds like an interesting change of pace. I'm an engineer in the automotive industry, so at the end, it's been an interesting time in the automotive world right now. Lots of turnouts, change going from ICE to EV, and then maybe no more EVs, maybe you guys do that.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the automotive industry. I got to tell you, you're hitting that Richmond repeater just fine. I had you full quieting on my end, meaning your signal must be getting into the Richmond repeater pretty strong. What's your location? What's your QTH?
Awesome. That's great to hear. I am in Casco Township. Buddy Gut Road and Church Road. So I'm not sure exactly where in Richmond the repeater is at, but it's a couple of miles into downtown Richmond for me as a crow fly. That's great to hear. Appreciate the signal report.
Yeah, like I said, you are. That second go around, you're still like I said, still holding it full quieting. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how far Casco Township is from the Richmond repeater, but what was I going to say? What kind of handheld are you using? I mean, not like it really matters. Pretty much any of them at 5 watts will probably do the same trip. But just kind of, I'm always curious.
Yeah, this is actually just a cheap little Quantrig I picked up on Amazon. I want to try it with the Motorola XPR that I have, a 7550, but waiting to hear back from Motorola to get the programming software, because it's only programmed to the UT from when I was up in college up there, so can't really use it too much down here. So far the full Quantrig has been pretty nice. I loaded a different firmware onto it, kind of opened it up, the EG Zoomers firmware, and the thing has been pretty rock solid so far.
Yeah, I got one of those little radios too. The K5 or something like that. And I think I put that EG Zoomer or something like that firmware on it. It's kind of nice because it definitely opens up a lot on receive. I guess it also opens up a lot on transmit too. But I don't know. I don't think you get much power anywhere other than like on the UHF VHF. But still, it's kind of nice to have. And I guess they're coming out with a new one that's kind of where they've unlocked they've got those. Similarly with all the receive bands, and it's got like a different antenna for like HF that you can plug into the top. I haven't done much research into it, but a lot of it's kind of the same hacks that a lot of people have been doing with that Quantrig radio. In fact, a lot of people like it because it's probably one of the most hackable radios out there. There's a lot of guys that are using it. And like I say, for the money, it works really, really well. You know, I mean, you can pay if you want I've got the FT5DR from Yaesu. It's a nice little radio, but you know, like I say, for the money, you know, there's nothing wrong with the Quantrig.
I absolutely agree with you there. You know, I've seen supposed the guys online that have opened these things up and added another connector for, I forget if they opened it up to like the 10-meter, 6-meter band, or so they know with some of these firmwares you can single sideband on it. So they try and open it up down into HF, which is just fascinating if you want a little handheld. But yeah, for the money, you can't beat it. I've I picked up three of these things and loaded the firmware on it, kind of opened them up, and I'm going to clean out the post tube, but through some GMRS channels in there.
Speak up.
With my dad and my brother this last year, and they simply just work. And for the price point, like I said, you can't beat them. I mean, I love Yaesu's products, I love Motorola's products, great quality products, but man, for the price I paid for three of these, I would maybe pay for one of the quote-unquote name brands. It's pretty incredible what the little Chinese radio market can do.
Yep, now everybody's worried they won't be able to get their Chinese radios for much longer with the tariffs. Yeah, somebody jumped in there, and you probably need to modulate your voice a little bit more, just speak up, because like I say, you're full quieting, and I can hear you just fine. It's probably just need either get closer to the mic or just speak up a little bit more, but yeah, those, like I said, good radios, those little ones, and you know, the funny thing is that I keep getting in this habit of buying HTs, especially like, you know, because at the price of these cheap HTs, it's like, ooh, that's a nice one. Ooh, that one does 10 watts. Ooh, that one, you know, and I end up with just a bunch of these HTs laying around the house. It's almost like my wife in shoes. Back to you, W8RJB.
Here, let's try this. I just adjusted the mic gate a little bit on the radio. But yeah, it's hilarious. That's pretty funny. That's a good comparison between handhelds and your wife's shoes. It's too easy to just pick up little handhelds. I got a desk full of them sitting on chargers here, but I've been wanting to get a mobile in the truck, but the handhelds are just, you can pick them up, and there's cool little features on each one of them. But yeah, I've been looking at mobile. I think I want to get in DMR mobile. Like I said, I got a Motorola XDR over there. I went to Michigan Tech a number of years ago, and we installed a Link DMR system throughout the Keweenaw. That was pretty awesome. I could be almost anywhere and have coverage with a handheld, not quite to the point of, you know, the Michigan State 800 megahertz system that they put in, but still pretty solid for an amateur radio network. And digital voice is kind of fun to play around with. Back to you, KE8FCR.
Oh yeah, I was messing around with the digital voice, built myself a bunch of hotspots, got like a DMR hotspot, a Fusion hotspot, still run them all the time. I've got, and then, you know, I've done Fusion, DMR, D-Star, but I got to tell you, lately, this All-Star stuff has been awesome, because it's basically voice over IP, so, and this repeater system, this FBI, is linked over that All-Star, and I don't know, I kind of like it because, you know, like you said, any handheld you got, you know, whether your little Baofeng, from your little Baofeng all the way to your ICOM will work on it, you know, and, you know, it's just FM, so, you know, and then doesn't get digital till it kind of goes into the All-Star, kind of as voice over IP, but I've played with all those digital modes, and they do some cool stuff, so. But I just arrived at the courthouse, so I'm going to have to say 73s. It was good talking to you. Thanks for the chat on the way in. Like I said, you're doing great with your handheld into the Richmond repeater. So that's awesome. So now you got something to play with the HT. So I'm going to say 73s. I'll listen out. W8RJD.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it. It was a pleasure meeting you. Yeah, I'm sure I'll be on the repeater quite a bit more now that I know I can get in pretty well. 73CU as well. KE8FCR.
He's the real deal, man.
WRUH.
Is that Anthony out there?
Yep, sure is.
Is that Anthony out there?
Yeah, who am I talking to?
W-8-E-A-T. Why are you so quiet? Why is your modulation low? Are you on a note or are you on a radio?
I'm on a radio. Nothing's changed. I'm on my mobile in my car.
I mean, it doesn't sound bad. It's just kind of faint. It's like you're talking like 2 feet away from the mic with the mic facing the other way. I mean, I can understand you perfect. It's just that your audio is probably about half of what it should be. So I don't know if you can turn that up or not.
I would imagine I can. I can't do it while I'm driving, though. So I'll take a look at it and see if it's something changed. That's interesting.
Well, you've been pretty light on the modulation for the last week that I've heard you. I just didn't say anything, but yeah, I just thought I'd let you know. But at least it's not over-modulated. That's, then you'll get Dave all worked up. You know what I mean? But no, you sound fine. It's just. You know, it's just a little bit on the light side.
All right, I will take that into consideration, and maybe tomorrow morning if I'm talking to somebody, or again this afternoon, I'll see if they have similar feedback. And if that's the case, I'll try to turn up the mic gain or something like that, see what I can do.
Raj, yeah, I'm on the audio code phone that you gave me at work. So yeah, I know my audio isn't going to be the greatest. I know that. This is just a stopgap measure for me to lurk all day. Put it on, listen to it all day.
That's pretty cool. I got a phone that I still have never set up. I got to get around to doing that, along with a dozen other projects. So we'll see what gets done first.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll be out there tomorrow. We can do another audio check. But anyhow, I will tie it back to work. I still got about another couple hours to go, so. I'll talk to you a little bit later, W-8-E-A-P.
Catch up with you later, Eric. Have a good afternoon. K-8-R-U-H.
W-8-F-U.
Good afternoon. What's happening?
Oh, got a late start today, so got out a little late, so just heading home now. So Nat's trying to stay warm. So 36, that's kind of warm by just last several weeks standards.
34 here, so just above freezing. At least the roads are not slippery. That's good. Yeah, I've been all over. I had to go run an errand east, I had to run an errand west, and I just went in on south. I figured I didn't do that. Did anything north? I need to balance it out.
Sorry about that. Got sidetracked. But anyhow, figure out about running around out and about, and I might have missed the tail end.
Yeah, I'm just pretty much hitting all the points of the compass today, except for north. So I had turned this preamp that I had gotten in the repeater before I fixed the issues, and I thought it was crapping out, but after I found out that connector was bad on the duplex, I think that was my problem. So I got to throw this, I'm going to throw that preamp back in. It seems to add about, to improve things like about like 20 dBm.
Yeah, and if your site's quiet and you can get away with it, why not? I think yours is pretty quiet, so there you go.
Yeah, but I was running an ERP calculation on what the system setup I have now, the way it is right now with the about 80 watts out of the duplexer, getting about 550 ERP.
Roger. Let's see, what am I getting? I've got, I don't know what I got to the antenna. I think I got about a buck 80 to the antenna. But then I've got about 180 foot of inch and 5/8. So it's not a lot of loss there. But then I've got a 12 dB stick. So I don't know. You do the math. But, What do you got now? Did you get a Station Master, a Super Station Master? What's the game figure on it? What did you have?
Well, before I just had the plain Station Master. That was only about 6 dB. This one's a Super Station Master. And DBI is about 12 point something, but... over Unity, it's a it's 10.
Mine, you know, going to be, you know, it's a 12 or a 16 bay folded dipole, so it's going to be 12 every time you double the dipole, 3 dB, so it's 12, but you know, you got your losses, you know, and it's not perfectly, you know, efficient and all that stuff. So I don't know if it's DBI, DBD, or what. Well, mine's DBD, right? You know, so, but it's something less than. I forget what, but it's right in there. I mean, you know, 10 or 11 or something, you know, it's right in there.
Yeah, I compared both the DB20 with this, and they're almost identical as far as gain.
The uppers, I just don't know, you know, I don't know the engineering behind the folded, you know, they're behind the Station Master. It's a, you know, some sort of a collinear array, and I'm not quite as comfortable with the math there. As a folded dipole is pretty straightforward, right? A 2-bay is going to be 3 dB minus whatever your, you know, inefficiencies are, you know, and then a 4 dB will be 6. An 8, it'll be 9, and, you know, and then take it to 16, and you get 3 more, so, minus your cable and connectors and things like that. So, and since they're all dipoles, it's DBD. So there you go. It's easy to figure out, and I don't know how the math works out in something like a collinear array like a Station Master.
Yeah. And if I up the power on the amp a little bit more, I could get I could get the ERP up to about 700. But I'm not gonna push it.
Yeah, why not risk your equipment for a almost unnoticeable improvement? Makes sense.
Yep. Exactly my thoughts. So, heard a few new people on since picked it up. There's some different new people popping up on it this way.
I've had this on
most of the day kind of listening. I heard you talking to somebody. I don't remember who, UGW or something, or something like that. I think it was something similar to that. I didn't catch much of the conversation. Couldn't tell you anything more. But I did catch that, a brief minute of that.
Yeah, UGQ was who I was. Turns out we know a lot of the same people, so kind of neat. You know, I'm thinking about changing my PO over to match yours. I don't know if that would, wonder if I should do that.
Please, make it so much easier. But it doesn't matter, really. You've used the other standard one, but yeah, you can go to the cool guy, PL.
Well, I'm just thinking of people, you know, they're on this dot six, and they say, oh, try the dot five, you know. They just tune up, you know. You take the memory, go to VFO, and just tune up, and not have to mess with the PL.
Jay,
try the dot five now.
No, I agree. I think it would be a lot better. There's been a lot of times I tell people, you know, go try that. And it's like, oh, yeah, and, you know, the PL. So, you know, it would be more convenient. I'm certainly not going to change my three. But if it's easy for you to change your one, might be handy. You know, I would be in total support of that, but you're a sandbox. Jay, how are you, sir? You sound a little hissy. So, but that's okay. We can make you out. Go ahead.
I was just turning my venue, man. I just want to let Phil know his repeater coming in just as good as this one. This one, I mean, his repeater or the one that is the 442-500 ain't coming in just as good as the 2600 now. What did you do, Phil?
Yeah, well, you're still on the 2.6. You know, you sure you're listening to the right thing? We put a new antenna up, fixed the cable situation, got a new amp on there. It's like a new machine.
Yeah, I just switched over to 2.600. I wanted I went from 5 to 2.600. Yours sounds good. Let me switch back over for a second. Hold on.
Yeah, where you're located, Jay, it should be about the same. You're about the equal distance probably from both. I don't know where you went. Okay, I'm just about pulling back home here. So, catch you later. Oh, you sound ABP here.
WAEMR testing.
Yeah, EMR, I'm just about to pull in the garage here. Name is Phil, ABPR. Where are you located?
Sorry, NAWGL.
Yeah, WADMR, I'm on low power. I'm in an indoor antenna situation. Go ahead, Jake.
I'm on the 2500 now. Yeah, this sounds just as good as the 2600 now. Just letting you know, I'm out of here, NAWGL.
Okay, yeah, EMR, where are you located?
Wixom, like the Wixom Myers or the Wixom, what do they call that? You know, Wixom between Novi and Milford.
Okay, good. And you're in a handheld inside?
No, I'm running a radio, ICOM 8, what is it, 880? ICOM, E-Star Radio. I just got the J-pole up there in the front of the trailer, and I'm in the back.
Okay, very good. Well, you're making it. A little noisy, but right in there. All right, I'm in the garage, so 7-3. Welcome to the machine. ABAP here.
AAC, KDO mobile monitoring.
I like what Phil said there at the very end. I'm going to have to maybe get a recording for the repeater. Welcome to the machine. And I know exactly the backdrop. Oh, Tom, how are you? And I think there's somebody else there. I didn't catch the person Phil was talking to. I just turned my volume back up.
Good afternoon. I am in Livonia, Plymouth and Middle Belt on the 500 machine.
You know, it'd be kind of curious to do an AB, you know, so we could figure out, you know, where it fills in. I'd be curious, because Ivan made some improvements that should help it to the west as well on the 2-6. So it'd be nice to know how they both work in various locations. Clearly, he's going to clobber me out there, Pontiac, Waterford, and all those areas, but as you get south a little ways, like where Jay is or where you're at now, you know, yeah, who knows, you know, because I got him beat north-south, he's got me beat east-west.
All right, well, Jay's in Wakesham, I heard that. I'm at 96 in Middle Belt on the 500. Give me a second, let me drop down to 6 and see what I get. KKKG on 600.
Okay, well, you were getting into the 500 significantly better. I don't know about how you're hearing it, but you're getting into it better on the than here. You're getting into this one okay, but you're better on the 500, obviously.
Okay, good. So the 500 that I jumped back over to is, a lot cleaner. I heard you on 6, but got some haze in there. But 500 way cleaner, so it sounds really good.
Okay, good to know. I kind of figured as much. So that's, there you have it.
Now all I have to do is get Grand Rapids in there, and I'll be happy on the west side.
Have you managed to get the Central Michigan repeaters in your archive or in your template for when you're bopping around? I don't know how often you get. They got several to the north, but they've got several going out 96, Danville and Lansing, and I'm not sure if there's one in Mason, but I don't think Mason. But anyhow, there's a few out that away anyhow.
I got Mayville, Danville, Holly, I think there's a Flint one, not sure about Lansing. I drop off just west of Lansing. What's the one that has the FEMA that goes to Jackson? Is that Danville or is that Mayville?
I don't get out of the area enough to tell you anything about the frequencies or PLs or pickabilities of any given machine. I have tried to Danville a few times on my way to and from Lansing. I think I even got on the Lansing once. And that's about it. I couldn't tell you much about them. I just don't get out there enough.
I think it was in East Lansing. I think that's the Danville one that's right out there by Lansing. Yeah, that's one that I chatted with you before when I was out there.
Well, who am I to argue? I believe it. Anywho, it's above freezing. Looks like the roads have dried up pretty good. Hopefully my steps are clear so my dog will go out. This morning I opened the door and he was like, wait a minute, what the hell's going on here? How am I supposed to get out? So I threw some salt down. Probably didn't need to. Who knows?
Yeah, my dog, Mike, her in last night, even though her little feet were freezing, she decided to lay in the snow and chew on a piece of ice.
I got a little dog now. Never owned a little dog. My parents had a cockapoo when I moved out, so that was the only little dog. I think they had a Pomeranian when I was real little, but I first dog I had when I left home was a setter, and I never had anything smaller than that. And significantly larger, and mastiff, you know. But this little chihuahua, he adopted me. It was a raid they did on a that's just a pitiful breeding situation out of Utica. They had like 200 dogs in a tiny little room house, and it was just crazy. But this little guy, you know. Chihuahua puppy, he adopted me at the pound down the street from the office, and so I brought him home. My wife was yelling at me, "Don't you dare!" I sent her a picture. "Don't you dare!" But snotty as he is, he's won us over. But he's a little gangster. I mean, he'll go out in anything, and he'll sit there, and you'll see him trying to pick up his feet. You know, like when it's really cold. You know, and he's like, "Hey, man, I can't deal with this." You know, and if I could get him some little booties, of course he'd bite my fingers off. I was trying to put him on, but if I could get him some way to protect his feet, he'd probably stay out all day too.
Yeah, 9 of 3 of them really like. Well, my two, let's say my Aussie healer, she's got a big fan of the snow. She'll go out there, but then she gets to a point where she starts limping in because she's cold. But that's her own damn fault. My dog, the Whippet Mountain Cur, she'll go out there, buzz around like the crazy thing that she is, and then she'll go, "Oh, my feet are cold." Then she starts flopping in. And then my black cat, she goes out there. She is the youngest and the dumbest. And she'll spend all day out there. And eventually, "Oh, I need to come in?" Yeah, it's ridiculous. And last night, like I said, with the ice that was coming through, my dog was scraping along, digging up ice, chunks, and walking around with them and then chewing on them. I'm like, "Put it down, come inside, you're not coming inside with an ice block."
I don't think I had any, I had dogs that really didn't like it. I never had any dogs that really loved it, you know, and just couldn't get enough. I had some that just weren't fazed by it, you know. My setters in particular, they didn't care one way or the other. My Dobermans were, you know, they wanted as little to do with it as possible. And they would go out, do their business, and get in. They were like, "Yep, I've had plenty of this." They weren't, you know, it wasn't a problem for them, but they were not going to stick around out there any longer than necessary. But sometimes, you know, if there was something around the house that required their attention and it was necessary, they'd stay. So, because everything that happened around that house was their business. They made sure of that. But none of my dogs were really particularly happy with it or bothered by it. And this little guy got now, like I said, he's just a little gangster. You know, he don't care. So, you know, it's 10 below, and he's like, you know, he'll go out. And then he's limping around because it's like, you know, "Oh, my feet are frostbite." And it's like, "I got to go get them." That's happened once or twice in really frigid stuff. You know, "I told you, idiot." So, anywho, not far from home here, just kind of making the path a little later than usual for me because I went in a little later. So, that's okay. I'm debating whether I'm going to work from home tomorrow or not. I got a lot of computer work to do and not going to be getting my butt out of the chair, you know, be in front of the computer. But I can do that in my pajamas from home just as easily as from the shop.
I wish I could work from home at times. One of my coworkers used to be a tech out in the field. He's now a PM, so he works a lot from home. Doing the same thing, just a lot of computer work, like meetings, paperwork, computer work, meetings, every day. Probably going to go back to the other day because their network was off.
do, stuff to keep you moving and working, then the cold is much easier to tolerate. I've had the worst jobs I've ever had, the outdoor jobs in this weather, were ones where mostly I just had to stand around. I remember there were a couple of times where I had to get, not so much anymore, but I'd have to we'd have a generator or something, emergency service required. You know, it's always in the worst possible weather. It'd be frigid cold, we needed a generator, and the guy needed to, we'd have to babysit him at the sites because nobody can be on the premises. They're all alarmed and monitored and that. So I just have to go stand there while they were working on it. That got pretty horrible. Went and got myself some of them Arctic overalls and the Arctic line Carhartt and the, you know, the balaclava and all that stuff, then I could stand there and, you know, tolerate it. Standing's still stuff that'll get you. All right, Tom, I am making the final approach here. And, the work from home stuff is, I told myself I'm gonna try to do a couple of days a week, but I don't. I rarely do any. I think I did a half day last week. It just kind of worked out that way. And I'm debating on doing tomorrow, but we'll see. I probably won't in the end. But I am in sight of my driveway, so after yours, I'm going to call it and catch you later. W8FU.
You want me to text you in the morning, remind you to stay put in your couch? And have a good night. Don't work too hard. Like I said, it's Friday, so get what you can done, but, you know, don't overexert. Have a great night. 73KGO, mobile and monitoring.
JS 8 BOT monitoring.
Hey, John, what are you doing linking this? Linking the 2.6 to Dave's hub.
Disappeared.
Yeah, I thought they were doing something, so I just got out of the way.
Say what?
I said I thought somebody was doing something, so I just got out of the way.
Who's talking on the hub right now?
I'm on RF, NAKPP, no hub.
Here, I'm mobile, KKKGO.
Same, NADBF, but I'm monitoring my open spot. I didn't recognize, I don't know how to do this. Anyway, good afternoon, John.
Yeah, there was something going on there because it confused three of us.
Yeah, I think John and Eric were doing something. I heard about it. There was like another frequency. I think it was like 450 or something. I don't know. Go ahead, Dakota.
Just driving home. I'm assuming you guys are all doing the same thing.
Only does it take long to go home. He only lives 3 minutes away.
Yeah, I did a lot of driving today, though.
I did more driving than I wanted to. I had to go down to 15 in Gratiot to get an oil change.
Go to my daughter. She's on Hall Road in Gratiot.
Go ahead, Dakota. I got some things to do for work here. I'll be back in a little bit of time. Good night, KC.
All righty. Tom, I'm at Romeo Plank and Hall. So, she's what? What is that, 3 miles? 2 miles east of me?
Yeah, that's Pennzoil right there between Burger King and I think that's Taco Bell, something right there by Walmart. That Pennzoil, Macomb Oil Change. Go ahead. Tell her that you know me. That's my daughter's shop. She's the assistant manager there.
Oh, okay. I know exactly where that's at then. I went to Moran Chevrolet. I always take it to that dealer just because I trust them and, I don't know, probably overpay for it. But that, I always get a rotation done and go talk to my sales rep and bug him to get me out of my truck, and that's pretty much the gist of it.
He's still trying to get into that Cybertruck. No way. He wants a Hummer EV. That's right.
Yeah, reality set in today when we ran numbers, and I'm like, Jesus. So my truck buyout is $60K, and they appraised it at $43K. And I'm like, that sounds outrageous. Because my buyout at the end of my lease is $43K. I'm like, you guys are out of your minds. So I'm keeping the truck. I'm not spending any, you know, I could buy another vehicle for $17,000.
Yeah, no. I agree. It's just, you know, you bring it in, it's, you know, Blue Book, you know, KBB is what, 65, and you bring it to dealership. Like, oh, yeah, we'll give you 30. It's like, wait a minute, where's the 25K drop here, man?
Yeah, so it quickly set in, and I was like, yeah, I'm not even going to entertain this. I'm not even going to try to make this work. It's out of the question. So, no big deal. I like my truck. I just wanted a Hummer. So, it is what it is. In other news, I learned the hard way about DXE's return policy that doesn't appear to be outlined very clearly when you're filing a return.
Is that where you got your MD500 from with DXE?
I buy all my radios, everything I can through DXE because it gets there next day, and they've always been good to me, and customer service has been phenomenal. They still are. I'm not complaining, but I bought my 710 there, and the farmer cut down the trees on my property, next to my property where my wire was. I don't feel like screwing with an antenna, so I was like, screw it. I'm just going to return the 710 and buy an 891. No big deal. Go through the return process like you would anything else and just click my way through and fill it all out, yada, yada, yada. And I call them. I'm like, hey, I want to exchange that. Can you just do that on the fly?
And he goes, well, you only have 10 days to return the radio. Is it open? I'm like, yeah, it's open. Like, it's an open box. Like, I was surprised you guys were letting me return it. It already shipped out today. And he goes, oh, well, you know, we only accept returns within 10 days. I'm like, that is listed nowhere when I was going to return this thing, so my bad. And now I have to pay a 15% respect fee.
Yeah, that's cranky on that one. Like, it's only a few days. Yeah, I don't understand that. All they're going to do is take the box closed and put down open box item and sell it at a discount. I don't know, I got, my kids got me an Arrow antenna for Christmas, but they just got me the UH one. They didn't give me the dual band inflexor model. And they had a, you know, is it like a less than 30-day return policy or something like that? Well, my daughter emailed the owner of the company, and he goes, sure, he said, just put this email in there, then send it back, and we'll give you a refund and or give you a credit for the next antenna. So I got to get this gold darn thing to the post office and get it sent out. It's been there since Christmas.
I've got one of those. I've got the, I think I've got the model that you're exchanging it for. I haven't done anything with it in a minute, but I would like messing with some ISS stuff again. Maybe when it's not cold and gross out. But that's how it should be, right? You know, I guess an antenna that doesn't have any, you know, electrical components to it is a little different, but it's like, dude, I put a screen protector on it. As soon as I took the cellophane off of it, like, the thing's brand new. I talked on it for less than an hour, and so yeah, it sucked. I saved $120 from MSRP when I bought it, and now I got to pay $141 to return it.
Yeah, that's bogus. Bogus on, in all ends. I mean, come on. I mean, it's brand new. Put it in there. They're gonna, like I said, they're just going to tape the box back up.
Well, that was what he said. He's like, well, we got to sell it as open box. I'm like, yeah, I get that. You know, what's the restock fee? And I'm thinking, you know, 10% like everybody else. No, 15.
The sad thing is you're going to do it anyways. You know, because you have no choice. I mean, I'll still deal with DXC. I mean, that's where I got my illegal from. KCBK. You know, I was taking pictures of it. Says, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And who do you think I should go through? He goes, we go to DXC, and that's all still shop there. And that's where I got my Magma, my, MRJ-77 or something. No, it's a Comet. I think it's a Comet. It's either a Comet or whatever the other one is, but it's the one that I got this radio connected to, and I love it.
Yeah, I'm not bashing DXC. I love those guys. I think I've bought almost every radio except for my Zygu 6100 I had, and maybe a couple HTs that I didn't buy from them. Everything else has been through them. They've been great. Customer service is always good. You know, apparently I missed their policy, and he was like, dude, it's in the policy. I'm like, okay, well, you should emphasize that when I'm clicking the boxes to get my label that, did you open this? But he goes, all right, well, I'll put the notes in, you know, no big deal. I'm like, all right, cool, thanks. So at the end of the day, I was wrong. They still took care of me. I'm not saying that's what customer service should be, but, you know, they weren't like, oh, you know, good luck, buddy. We'll send it back to you. You can pay for shipping.
At least they worked with you, to a point, and that's what I like about them. I've never returned anything. I've always bought. And like I said, my Alico is the first major purchase I made to them, but, you know, I was thinking of Amazon, I think of the others. I'm like, you know, I don't trust it. As much as everybody else does. I'll buy other stuff on Amazon, but with this type of investment, no, I'm going to go with a reputable dealer, and DXC is going to be my number one.
I agree. Like I said, they're usually faster and cheaper than Amazon, so that's another reason I love those guys. But I don't know if I told you, but when I ordered my 500, the first one got stuck and, like, lost somewhere for, like, 6 days, and I called them, like, hey, you guys are usually next-day delivery. You know, I think this thing's lost, and they're like, yeah, you're a good customer. We'll ship you out another one. Well, then the next day, they both showed up, and they gave me a label to ship one back, and that's how I picked my Lemon FTM 500. But that's why I like them. They're very, very, you know, customer service oriented.
Yep, and so is NAKPP. He has a quality product and he's redoing for me, so when I start traveling more to the west side, that I get more capabilities at DMR. Dropped that off at his place the other day. And the guy looks at me and says, "Who's this for?" I said, "It's for Wally." He goes, "Senior, junior." I go, "The big guy." And I said, "And he goes, and who are you going?" I said, "Just tell him that Cujo dropped it off." That way he knew who it was.
He's updating code plug for DMR for you.
Yeah, because I have Novi, Richmond or Mount Clemens, and I have Detroit's in there. But I've been going to the west side a lot, so I lose FBI when I go out there. I try to find the Central Michigan repeaters out there through repeater book. And once I get past a certain point, I'm pretty much dead in the water. But with the DMR, if I get all of the code plugs in there, then I have that all over the place, so at least I have some communications.
You're going to get hooked on DMR, and then you're going to buy the DMR chip for your Alinko.
I don't think I can get it now. I mean, I didn't pick that option when I bought the radio. It's like another 150 for it. And all it says was digital. It didn't say anything about... That's one reason I didn't buy it. It didn't say DMR. It didn't say System Fusion, D25. It's just a digital chip. But if I can find it, I'll order it. If it's DMR, I will order it, and I'll have another DMR radio.
Yeah, I don't know what else it would be besides, like, digital voice. Yeah. I can't think of anything... You know, like UHF side, there's FT8, but I don't think you do FT8 with UHF VHF. I'm sure you can, but I don't know why you would. Yeah, I don't know. It's not Fusion. That's proprietary to Yaesu, and I highly doubt it's DSAR, so I'd be willing to bet it is a DMR chip. YouTube it.
Oh, I will. Like I said, I can't wait to get the right arrow antenna. Get that. I mean, I got my, MD380, but I think somebody's selling a 390 for like $60 somewhere in Davis, and I don't know, I gotta look it up on Marketplace again. It was a brand new radio. So if I get the 390, they'll have the GPS option in there. But of course, Captain Don will work with me on that since he is the ISS guru.
Yeah, that's a radio that's on my list as well. I've had it in my cart several times, and I don't play with my Aero, for ISS, so I don't know, what am I going to buy this for? It's in my safe with the rest of the HTs that are in my closet, so I haven't bought it yet, but I do have an RT3S that if I do want to mess with the ISS and use the Aero, it's already all set up with that, and all the code plugs, the Doppler, and all that.
Yeah, I have a bunch of HTs in my work van here, but they're VHF. They work, though. They're Vertex standards. They're great little radios, and they keep a charge like the Dickens. I think there's a couple of them that I haven't used in, like, 2 years, and they're still charged.
I've got an ICOM ICT10 up like that. Every time I pull it out, it's still at, like, 8 volts, and I haven't touched it or charged it, and I couldn't even tell you how long. So, yeah, I like those. But those are usually, it's probably just an analog only. Yeah, you said it's VHF only. So it's an analog only, you know, simple basic radio. It doesn't have a bunch of crap on it to suck the battery down with a little bit of a parasitic drain.
Yeah, but I got the programming cables and the CP software for it. And then I got another HD sitting here. I have another Alinko. And what is this one? This is an older one. It's a DJG5T. You know, it's got the older, it's got the nickel metal hydride battery, so I drain those down, charge them all up for a day and stuff, and those do pretty good. And I program those like none other also.
thinking about picking up another FP60, but that's usually my hesitation is nickel metal batteries, but I never had a problem with it when I used it. But all right, Tom, I just pulled in the driveway. I got a desk to build here. I'm pretty pumped because I finally am going to have room for all my goodies. So safe travels, and maybe I'll catch you tomorrow. I'll be clear for yours and APDS.
Yeah, I'm just pulling through Richmond. It's an early day today, so I'm done too. 70 DK, have fun building your desk for all your toys. I will check you out. I'll talk with you on the flip. 70 DK.
KCAKKONAKPP.
WAEAP. WAEAP monitoring.
This is KAAEQQ mobile monitoring.
Kilo Foxtrot.
KABB.